Philippians 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 17. Paul says, "Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your condition or your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I also considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, and that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem or honor. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." There's many, many lessons in this passage that we could pull out of here, but the one I want to mention this morning briefly is the message of esteeming or honoring one another. When you look at what Paul is doing here, he mentions his own example in verse 17. "I'm pouring myself out for you, and I'm glad to do that." Then in verse 25, he mentions the example of Epaphroditus and his service to the Philippians. Then he mentions also Timothy in verse 19. So he's giving these examples of people that are serving the Lord, laying down their life for others. And then what he says in verse 29 is the heart of the matter. Why is he giving them these examples? Because we should honor or hold such people in esteem. And the Bible tells us that we are to honor one another in Romans 12. Prefer one another in honor is the way some versions read it. And it's kind of a tricky phrase in the original to translate, but the idea is be eager to honor other people, or make sure they get the honor. And the picture is of the word there is of you being willing to stand behind someone so that they can stand in front and they can get the honor. It's a great word picture. So here we see that Paul is exhorting the Philippians, and therefore all of us, to honor or esteem one another. So I want to talk very briefly about first the meaning of honor. What does this mean? Then secondly, who we should honor. Then I want to make a couple observations on this notion of honor. First, what does this mean? When he says to esteem or to honor, what does this mean? Well, the word actually means to put a value on it. And it's used of costly metals, costly stones. So it's the idea of something being rare, valuable, precious, dear, whatever word you want to insert in there. And so the idea is when we look at other people, we should see them as being extremely precious, extremely valuable. We should therefore esteem them, respect them, and honor them. If we're going to honor one another, we must recognize the value of other people. And that means that we appreciate their talents, their gifts, their sacrifice, their ministry, etc. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He's holding up himself, and that seems egotistical, except he was an apostle and inspired at the moment. So he could do that. Then Timothy, then Epaphroditus, and you see in his epistles, he's always mentioning people, and he's holding them up and honoring them for their service for the Lord. He's appreciating them. He's recognizing them, their talents, their gifts, and their contribution to the body of Christ. Therefore, it's not a coincidence that earlier in Philippians, if you want to look at verses 1 through 4, Paul says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. And especially verse 3 and 4, notice, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You could insert the word, let each honor others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also for the interest of others. So in order to honor other people, we have to look away from ourselves, if you will. Look not at our own things, but at the things of others. We must get our attention off of ourselves. Calvin said that in order to honor others, we must learn to be humble. He says this, he says, we see by these words that self-denial has respect partly to men and partly to God. For when Scripture enjoins us in regard to our fellow men to prefer them in honor to ourselves, that's how it's worded in Romans 12, and sincerely labor to promote their advantage, he gives us commands which our mind is utterly incapable of obeying until its natural feelings are suppressed. You understand what he's saying? He's saying we can't obey this injunction to honor and esteem others if our natural feelings are not suppressed. Why? Because our natural feelings are feelings of pride. Our natural feelings, we want to honor ourselves. We want to exalt ourselves. So we have to suppress ourselves or deny ourselves, humble ourselves, so then that we can honor other people. He says, the poor man yields to the rich, the plebeian to the noble, the servant to the master, the unlearned to the learned, and yet everyone inwardly cherishes some idea of his own superiority. Thus, each flattering himself sets up a kingdom in his breast. Don't you love that? A kingdom in his breast. The arrogant, to satisfy themselves, pass censure on the minds and manners of other men, and when contention arises, the full venom is displayed. Many bear about with them some measure of mildness, so long as all things go smoothly and lovingly with them. But how few are there who, when stung and irritated, preserve the same tenor of moderation? For this, there's no other remedy than to pluck up the roots of those most noxious pests, self-love and love of victory. I couldn't have said it better myself. I guess that's why he's famous and I'm not. Pluck up those noxious pests, those noxious weeds of self-love and love of victory. So Paul tells us to esteem others, to honor others, and in order to do that, we must, of course, humble ourselves. We see the connection between humility and honoring others in a famous document from the early church called the Didache, and it simply means the teaching. One of the earliest documents we have. And here's what it says. It says, do not be a grumbler, my son, for this leads to blasphemy. Likewise, do not be too opinionated, and do not harbor thoughts of wickedness, for these too can breed blasphemy. Learn to be meek, for the meek are to inherit the earth. School yourself to forbearance, compassion, guilelessness, calmness, and goodness, and never forget to respect the teaching you have had. Isn't that good? So who are we to honor? Well, if we had time, we could look at a long list of those we should honor, because the Bible tells us we are to honor God, we are to honor those in authority over us at work, we are to honor the civil magistrates, we are to honor our parents, we are to honor our elders, wives are to honor their husbands. But the thing I want to really focus on today is that we are to honor one another. We are to honor all of the members of the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 12, Paul says, for as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Many different members, but only one body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So there's one body, and there's one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not many members, but not one member, but many. So there's one body, but there are many members. Just the analogy of the human body. You have arms and legs and head and eyes and nose and fingers, all these different parts, but there's only one body. If the foot should say, verse 15, because I'm not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer?
No.
And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, what's the answer?
No.
If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. Notice the phrase, God has set the members. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? If all of a sudden all your body was all of a sudden transformed into one big arm, where would the body be? There wouldn't be a body, there'd be an arm. There'd be one member, but not one body. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Verse 20. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The body of Christ is a creation of God. It's not a creation of man. God has placed the members in the body as it has pleased Him. And God knows what the body needs. He knows what gifts it needs. And God bestows those gifts on the members of the body as He sees the need for the body. What this tells us is that every member of the body is valuable. Every member. And I know that there are Christians who feel that they're not important, they're not valuable. I don't know how to say this effectively, but what you have to understand is that when you think that way, you are not just despising yourself, you are despising the grace of God. Because God has gifted you. And your gifts are vitally important to the success of the body of Christ on earth. And as I shared at the men's conference yesterday, it doesn't matter whether you're cleaning toilets or preaching the gospel overseas. If you are doing what God has called you to do, if you are using the gift God has given you, then your contribution is invaluable. I think sometimes people don't come back to church because the toilets are dirty. Everything we do is valuable. Everything we do is important. And if God has assigned you a place of visibility, then you thank Him for it. If God has assigned you a place where you work in the shadows, then you thank Him for it. You take your gift and you use it for God's glory, and then God will give you the honor. You are valuable. Your gifts are valuable. And you need to appreciate what God is given you and what God wants to do with you. You need to appreciate it, but so does everybody else. And the body needs to appreciate the other members of the body. That's Paul's point in this passage when he holds up himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus. And then he says, hold these men in esteem because of their labor. The body needs to appreciate the gifting that God has given to each member of the body. When we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to see them not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why Paul said, I no longer see any man after the flesh, not even Christ. In other words, I see all men now through the new creation. I see them in the new order. I see them as members of the body of Christ, and I attempt to see how God has gifted them. And therefore, they are extremely valuable to God, and they ought to be valuable and cherished and honored by me. Amen? Bonhoeffer said this in his book on community. It's called Life Together. He says, he's talking about ministry in the body of Christ, and he has this heading called the Ministry of Meekness. Now, how many of us think of meekness as a ministry, right? The ministry of meekness. He says, he who would learn to serve must first learn to think little of himself. This is the highest and most profitable lesson, truly to know and to despise ourselves. Not to despise God's gifts in us, but despise ourselves apart from him, what we are in ourselves. And he goes on to say this. He says, not only my neighbor's will, but also his honor is more important than mine. He quotes John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? The desire for one's own honor hinders faith. One who seeks his own honor is no longer seeking God and his neighbor. What does it matter if I suffer injustice? Would I not have deserved even worse punishment from God if he had not dealt with me according to his mercy? Is not justice done to me 1,000 times even in injustice? Must it not be wholesome and conducive to humility for me to learn to bear such petty evils silently and patiently? So we have a ministry of meekness. We have a ministry of honoring other people and recognizing their value. How do we do this? Well, very simply, those over us we honor by our submission and our cooperation, by not murmuring or disputing. But those around us we honor by acknowledging them, by encouraging them, by recognizing them, by praising them. Sometimes I think people think, you know, if I recognize and praise people, they're going to get all puffed up. I guess that's possible. But that's their problem, not your problem. Your problem is to encourage others. To use an analogy, a sports analogy, you are to be a fan of other people in the body. You are to root for their success, right? You ever go to a ball game? Cheer for the team, right? Albert gets up. Go, Albert, man. You can hit a home run. Go, go. Do it, do it. That's the way we should be in the body of Christ. When you see somebody serving, we should encourage them. Man, you're doing a good job. Press on. Keep on serving. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping. You're doing an awesome job. God has gifted you. God has called you. You can do this. Press on. Run to the finish line. Don't give up. Persevere. That's how we need to be encouraging one another. Hey, you know, I really appreciate what you shared today. I appreate when you prayed today, it ministered to me. Hey, I appreciate the fact that you ushered today. I appreciate the fact that you taught catechism today. I appreciate the fact, and you fill in the blank. I appreciate you. I am thankful to God for you. That's how we should be talking to one another. Not criticizing one another, not putting one another down, not looking down on one another, but lifting others up. Lifting others up. I don't know about you, But I can use encouragement. Anybody here need some encouragement? I mean, be honest. Most people need it, and yet so few people give it. But we ought to be honoring one another, not just once a year, but always encouraging and exhorting and valuing other people. That means we speak highly of them to them. We speak highly of them to other people. That means we acknowledge their gifts to them. We acknowledge their gifts to other people. Isn't Marty a great worship leader? Isn't he a great worship leader? And when I talk about Marty, that's what I tell people. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge what God has given him. And I recognize that. And I do it with many other people I know. Aren't they a gifted teacher? Isn't it amazing when they pray how you get ministered to? Isn't it astounding how Jake will serve in the sound booth and get no recognition? I mean, and you can go down the list and you honor people to other people. And you honor them to them. You encourage them. Anybody who's serving the Lord needs encouragement. Amen? Yesterday, Jesse Pfister shared, did a great job at the men's conference. But he told me, he said, you know, a couple weeks ago I gave a big presentation in class, and he said, that was easy. He said, man, when I did this thing, he said, I struggled all week. All week I struggled to get my thoughts together. I could not get this thing together. And when I was standing up here, it was like I could just not get my thoughts together. And he apologized to me because he thought he did such a poor job. Now, he actually did a good job. And so many of the people that heard him probably thought he did a good job, and he knew it and didn't need to be encouraged. He really needed to be encouraged. Someone might look like they're doing fine, and they can be in the depths of depression. That's because they put on their Sunday face. They come to church, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Great. Awesome. Right? You may have no idea what they're struggling with throughout the week. You may have no idea the spiritual battle that's going on around them or around their family. We need to be encouraging and honoring one another. Amen? We all need it. We all need it. Anybody you see serving, you need to go to them and you need to thank them and recognize them on a regular basis. Because the more you serve, I believe the more you have to battle discouragement. Because the more you serve, the more the enemy wants to stop you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to tell you what you're doing doesn't mean it's not doing any good. You know how many times I'm told by the devil it doesn't do any good to preach the word? I'm told that every day. It does no good. It does no good. It does no good. He tells me that constantly. He lies to me constantly. He lies to anyone who's seeking to serve the Lord and do something for Christ. And so we need to encourage one another, and we need to honor one another. I'll say one more word. I know I went too long. Another reason we need to do this is because when you honor other people, when you recognize their service, their gifts, you are really recognizing and honoring Christ. Because if the body of Christ is the spiritual, mystical body that it is, then each of us represents Christ to one another. That's why Jesus said, he's talking actually about the final judgment in Matthew. And he says to the righteous, you're going to go into the kingdom. And they're like, why? He said, because when you saw me naked, you clothed me. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me thirsty, you gave me drink. And they're like, when did we see you? And he said, you did these things to me when you did them to my brethren. When we look at one another, when we interact with one another, we need to remember that the way we are treating one another is the way we're treating Jesus. I need you to hear this. Because if we understood this, so many of the feuds and conflicts that go on in churches would not happen. Because we would not speak of Jesus the way we speak of our brother sometimes. We're going to take the Lord's Supper shortly. And that bread represents his broken body. But it also represents the new body. His body on earth. We are one body. We have one spirit dwelling in us. And when we honor one another and recognize one another, we're ultimately honoring the work of Christ and the gifts of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of the body. We thank you that you've called each of us to ministry. We thank you that you've equipped each of us for ministry. And we want to honor you by honoring one another. I pray that as a body, Lord, we will learn to walk toward one another in such a way that we learn to esteem and respect and honor one another in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. We pray that through this honor, you would be honored. And we pray in your name. Amen.